Looks like you have a wonderful attendance today, and we appreciate the opportunity to be able to come and visit with you about some of the important issues facing our state and talk about Oklahoma City in particular and the great accomplishments there. And as I looked at the Oklahoma City Chamber's agenda and certainly some of the agenda items that Pete mentioned in my bio, you know, I see as all the chamber members, the private sector business people that are represented here today as the Oklahoma team, the Oklahoma jobs team. We're all here to promote our great state, to encourage its growth and development, and to help make Oklahoma City and the whole state of Oklahoma a great place to live, work, invest, and raise a family. And so thank you for all that you do as chamber members and the work that you do to help put together a great agenda. And I know we have many of our businesses that are represented here today. We also have many of our economic development team members that are part of this Oklahoma team. And elected officials, thank you for joining us. And I even saw a couple of my cabinet secretaries that have joined us here. Thank you all for coming and being a part of this. You are truly Oklahoma's job team and our team that will help bring more prosperity to our state. And those of you that are in the private sector, I want to just compliment you for the innovation, for the investment, for helping us build a stronger economy, not only here in Oklahoma City, but certainly throughout the state. And we in state government and in the local governments that are represented in this room today, our job is to support you and what you're doing with your private sector companies and industries and sectors to help you be more successful and more prosperous. And there's a lot of good news that have been occurring in not only Oklahoma, but certainly in Oklahoma City. And in particular, I'm pretty proud right now of the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm looking forward to seeing the Thunder make it to the playoffs. We're excited about that. And not only is the Thunder on a roll, but frankly, Oklahoma City is on a roll. And it's because of the hard work in this room. I was looking at some numbers for Oklahoma City. I always like to brag about this if I'm speaking throughout the state or even nationally, that Oklahoma City has one of the lowest unemployment rates of major metropolitan cities in the nation, ranking right now number 5 at 4.8%. Congratulations, Oklahoma City. And I want to congratulate Mayor Mick Cornett. Mayor Cornett's doing a great job in the city council and all the business community. And if you look at Oklahoma City and even the businesses that are in the cities, like Devon Energy and certainly Chesapeake and American Fidelity Insurance, who have all been recognized yearly just for many, many years as some of the best places to work in the industry in the United States. That's a great compliment to many of our Oklahoma companies and major international companies or even keeping their eye on Oklahoma, just like the great announcement that we had just last fall with GE, General Electric, developing a global international energy research center in Oklahoma City, adding hundreds of jobs, a major investment to support our great energy sector in our state. And by the way, we worked on that project for probably about a year, and it came down to 5 different locations. Even Munich, Germany was in the running list for that. I think Denver, New York, Oklahoma City, Austin, Houston. And in the end, it came down between Austin, Texas, and Oklahoma City, and we beat Texas once again. So if you look at Oklahoma City, you'll see that it's been listed many, many times as one of the top 10 cities in the nation, and I want to just read this list off to you, for middle-class job creation, a top location for job seekers, affordability, best city for recent college graduates. I just had a college graduate, my son. He stayed in Oklahoma. Appreciate that. And the best city to start a business. That's all wonderful news for Oklahoma City. And if there was, say, a national American all-star team in the nation of all-star cities in our nation, Oklahoma City would be on that team. I truly believe that. So that's fantastic news for our city. And certainly much of that success is attributable to all of you in the room and our Chamber of Commerce and the great work that you have been doing. But I also want to say that our state is performing well. And it hasn't always been an easy job. If you look back to the great national recession that our nation came through, our state came through, and the tough times that we went through beginning in 2009, 2010, even 2011 when I took office, it was a pretty tough go for our state. We had had some tremendous budget shortfalls in our state. And if you'll remember back to that time, our unemployment rate was 7.2%. It was pretty high for Oklahoma as a state. And today, I'm proud to say, because of the pro-business reforms we've been enacting at the state capitol and making government more efficient and effective, and yes, Pete, standing up to the federal government and their intrusion into our businesses, I do believe in that. Now our unemployment rate in the state of Oklahoma is moved from 7.2% down to 5.4% for our state. Great news for us. And our Oklahoma families are doing much better. One of my big issues is helping improve the quality of life for all of our Oklahomans and to help them raise their income levels. And so because of the pro-business reforms we've been doing since January 2011, our per capita income for a family has grown by 6.3%, beating the national average by 44% and making us number two in the nation in per capita income growth for our families. It's good news for our state. And our fiscal house is once again back in order, back coming through the national recession in 2011. Unfortunately, we had several years of major shortfalls in our revenue. And in January 2011, when I took over as governor, we literally had $2.03 in our rainy day savings account. And it was not good, because if we were to go through another national recession or have some type of major natural disaster in our state, we wouldn't have any money to take care of that. But we worked very hard over the last couple of years to put in place pro-growth, pro-jobs, reform. And since that time, last summer, our rainy day account, our savings account, reached a high of $570 million. And thank you, Pete. And when we did have that terrible rainy day in Oklahoma last May, the last week of session, when we had the May tornadoes, especially the May 20th tornado, that came through Moore and Newcastle and that area of the state, the legislature very quickly in the last week of session allocated $45 million of that rainy day savings account to go help those communities that were affected by that natural disaster. And that's why it's important that we have a rainy day healthy savings account. And now we have still over $500 million in our rainy day account for those days. Last week, I had the opportunity to address our legislature during the annual, my fourth, actually, State of the State address in the legislative session. And I told the legislators, and I know they're in agreement with this, that we have to continue our plan for job growth, job retention, and also for helping develop more prosperity in our state. And there are a lot of different things that help make our state more attractive to business and investment. And one of those things, and I think is very important to helping us be a state that makes it on a list for a GE or Macy's that's looking like it did in Owosso to add almost 2,500 jobs up in that area, is they look at not only right to work, which we've done, our lawsuit reform, our workers' compensation reform, but they also look at our tax structure in our state. And so we've gradually been working on lowering our taxes so we can be more competitive with states like Texas, states like Kansas, who lowered their income tax dramatically last year. And I still think it's one of the most important things that we can do is have responsible tax cuts when it's appropriate for our state, and to give our Oklahoma families more money to be able to put in their own pocket, because they turn around and spend that money. They spend it back at our different businesses in our state, and invest, and people and businesses invest that money also, and helps us attract more jobs and more companies that look at Oklahoma. And historically, if you look back over the years that we've had tax cuts, whether it's been through the Keating administration or even the Henry administration, which had a tax cut, you'll see that we can still fund government. When you have a national recession, that causes some hiccups and some things, but we can still fund government, and it should be a priority to fund essential services in government, but we can gradually, responsibly lower income tax rates, because from the time Keating drop the income tax rate down from 7% down to what it is today at 5.25%. We've had over $1 billion of new revenue growth in our state. And that fact gets lost many times by those who want bigger government and higher taxes in the state of Oklahoma. But I do believe that responsibly lowering the income tax is a way that we can not only help keep our jobs, but also attract more jobs. In fact, since January 2011, we've created over 63,500 new net jobs. That's even making up the jobs that we lost during the national recession. And now we're one of the top 10 states in the nation for net migration of new jobs and people moving to the state of Oklahoma. And that's where we want to be. And one of the ways we can continue to ensure a brighter future for our state is focusing on our workforce and focusing specifically on education. Education is the key to success. Chancellor, I see you out there nodding. Thank you for that. And our chancellor's done a great job. But education is the key to success. We need to have a highly skilled, educated workforce in the state of Oklahoma. And I do believe, like many of you believe, that not only is the resources that we have in our state critical, but it's also important that we empower our students and we empower our communities and we empower our parents on education and education reform. And one of the ways that we're doing that is certainly by funding. We've had a lot of discussion in our state about education funding. Last year in our legislative session, we took a combination of between K through 12 education, career technology, and higher education. We did bump up funding by $120 million for all the different education services in our state. This year in my State of the State speech, I also, and in my budget, I put in another $50 million to go towards K through 12 education in our state because it is very important for us. But improving education isn't only just about money. It's also about raising the bar. It's about having accountability and standards and transparency and expecting our students to do well, expecting our teachers to perform well, expecting our schools to perform well. And so we've made some great strides in our reform efforts at the Capitol over the last couple of years, and I appreciate the legislature working very hard on this. We have made it a goal to make sure that all of our children can read by the third grade. I think it's pretty simple. If a child can't read at grade appropriate level, especially by the third grade, they can't learn. Because if you can't read at grade level, you can't learn the math and the science and social studies and other subject matters that you have to learn as you move up through the education system itself. And then when they reach their senior year in high school and they go to take their ACT or SAT or start their freshman year in college, we know that we have a much too high remediation rate with our high school seniors starting their freshman year in college. And we as parents, because I just had a senior graduate again. Have I told you that in December? She's got a job in Oklahoma. Then we as parents have to pay for those remediation courses, which in the end costs us more money to send our children to college. Sometimes children become frustrated when they're in their fifth or sixth year of college. Anybody had somebody, a student go to college 5 or 6 years? I don't want that in my family. And then they drop out many times, and that's why we see a higher dropout rate in our higher education system. And then the other side of the coin of that is that as businessmen and women, you need that skilled workforce for the jobs that you have. And if it's taken them 5 or 6 years to get out of college, guess what? They're not available to you for the jobs that you have. And so it's been a big priority to make sure our children can read at grade appropriate level. And this year I also put more money in my budget for reading sufficiency programs to help children after school, to help with tutoring and other things. Another thing we did, and change is hard, but I think it's important, is having better accountability, better transparency, and how our schools are performing. And some people like that, some people don't. But I think it is important. If we're going to grade our children A through F to make sure our children are getting their homework done and learning those topics and being ready to move on to the next grade, we also think it's important to grade our schools A through F. I had somebody tell me not too long ago, says, you know, I can drive through Oklahoma City and I can tell you what's probably going to be an A school, a B school, a C school, and I can tell you an F school just by driving down the street. I know we know We know in the community what those schools are that are struggling. But if we don't identify the schools that need improvement and then get that help for them, how can we expect anything different of that school? Or how can we expect our children to do any better if we're leaving them in a school that's underperforming? It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. There's an old saying in the business world, you have to inspect what you expect. You have to inspect how things are going, because how do you expect it to change? And so it's been a challenge, but we have stepped up our standards. We're expecting more rigor in the classroom. We're inspecting and certainly holding people accountable. But ultimately, our goal is not only about improving K through 12 education. It's also about improving our educational attainment levels in our state. In other words, making sure that we have that educated, skilled workforce to not only retain jobs. I know I have a lot of Oklahoma employers tell me, I can't find the workers. Or we may have a business prospect of the chamber that says, tell me how many engineers you have, or aerospace people you have, or welders you might have, or for the energy sector, whatever it might be. But we also have to make sure that we are having the educational attainment level to meet the jobs that are here and also the jobs we're trying to recruit to Oklahoma. And one of the things that we know about Oklahoma is we have to increase our number of degree completion and also our number of career technology certificates. We know we need more college education, university education degrees, but we also know that we need those who have workforce certificates in a particular profession. We know that a high school diploma is no longer enough. It's no longer enough to be able to reach the middle class or even the American dream. We know that if someone has a high school diploma or less in Oklahoma, and frankly, this is even national, that two-thirds of those jobs, or two-thirds of the jobs that require a high school diploma will pay less than $25,000 a year. It's hard to support yourself and reach the American dream on that type of a salary. So knowing that a high school diploma is no longer enough to reach the middle class, and we've put together a big emphasis on more degree completion, and Chancellor Johnson and the higher education university presidents and certainly our career technology directors and Dr. Bob Simmers and I have been working very hard on a program that Pete mentioned, Complete College America. It's also Complete Career Tech America. And it's actually, Oklahoma is considered to be the leader in the nation for having the best model in the nation. And I want to commend Chancellor Johnson, because we launched this program several years ago. We decided we'd set a goal, once again, for our state. We typically graduate around 30,500 or so graduates a year from our universities and career technology system. So we know that when we look out to the year 2020, that we're going to need a lot more than that, around 50,000 plus degrees. And so the chancellor and the university presidents, President Betts, I see you sitting there, were part of this. And we set a goal that we would increase the number of degree attainment by 1,700 a year. We didn't make it. We didn't do the 1,700 a year. They actually reached the goal of 2,900 more degrees and certificates a year, a 71% beating their goal. Thank you for doing that. And here's why that's important. We've actually done some pretty in-depth analysis of our top key wealth-generating economies in our state and industries in our state. And we know that if we look out to the end of the century, and we know the types of degree attainment levels, whether it's a career technology certificate in some type of profession or some type of associate degree or even a higher education degree and beyond, we know that 77% of the jobs in Oklahoma specifically, and this tracks even nationally, but 77% of the jobs will require more than a high school degree. But here's the problem. Only 54% of our people in our workforce have more than a high school degree. So we have what's called a big skills gap between that 77% and that 54%. And if we don't close that gap by more degree completion in our state and making sure that our K through 12, our high school seniors, are ready to go on to college or some type of career, we're going to fall behind. And those jobs will go elsewhere. They'll go to some other state. They'll go to some other country. And that's important not only for job growth and retention, but it's important for attracting new business. So the new minimum in education, not only here in our state, but around the nation, is something more than a high school degree to reach that middle class and to reach the American dream. And as Pete, I think you may have mentioned this, I actually have the great honor right now of serving as the national chair of all the governors in the nation. And each chair has a certain initiative that they'll choose to do for all the governors that's bipartisan, both Democrat and Republican governors can support. And so I chose my initiative to be America Works, Education, and Training for Tomorrow's Jobs. It's putting America to work so we can reshore jobs back to America, keep jobs here in America, and to grow our not only our state economy, but our national economy. And so over the past year during my chairmanship, I've held two national summits in two of the regions of the United States and brought in governors, educators, the private sector, businesses, commerce secretaries, secretaries of education, chancellors of higher education, Chancellor Johnson and Secretary Summers, Secretary Parman, and all that have been to these different summits. And then we're going to have one here in March in Oklahoma on March 26th, in which we'll bring together our educational institutions, our secretaries of our various divisions of government, chancellor, and our private sector community leaders to talk about how do we make sure that we're providing the right type of skill sets, the right type of education, degrees, and certificates for the job openings that we have and to meet the energy sector, the aerospace sector, the financial services, distribution services, all the different healthcare profession. How do we meet those types of jobs? And then 2 days after, the following 2 days, on the 27th and 28th, I'll have other governors that will be in Oklahoma, and we'll have a national summit here. And this isn't just a problem in Oklahoma, but it is a problem around the whole nation. And talking about education in schools, there's been a lot of debate, and certainly after the May 20th tornadoes, about how do we keep our children safe, our teachers safe, our school system personnel safe in the time of disasters. And not only the time of tornadoes, but even in times of possible dangerous intruders who might come into the school, a school, with a gun. And we certainly suffered a horrendous loss last May when the May 20th tornado struck the Plaza Tower schools, and we had little ones that were lost during that time, and certainly other Oklahomans that were lost during that time too. And I do think it's important that we step up our efforts as a state to protect our children and protect our schools. So I'm proud that just yesterday, the House committee passed House Joint Resolution 1092, which I asked them to do, that will allow the people of Oklahoma to vote on a constitutional amendment to be able to expand the bonding capacity for school districts, local school districts, local communities, and allow parents and civic leaders to decide what needs to be done to help their schools be safer, whether it's a storm shelter, whether it's retrofitting a room in a school, or maybe if they already have a storm shelter, and we have 800 storm shelters in our schools in Oklahoma, then they can put in some other precautions to protect their schools against any intruders that might come through that school. I think it's important that we do that and allow the local school districts, which already bond for local school bonding to build schools themselves, that's where schools are built from, to have a responsible plan for safety and security in our schools without forcing. By the way, does not the House voting to send it to a vote of the people does not force new taxes on people. It does not put any new mandates on people, but it allows local communities, local parents, local control of school districts to decide what they need, because each school, each city is different and has their own unique different needs. And I think that will help even further make Oklahoma a great place to live and work and to be able to raise a family. So I'm extremely pleased that the legislature took quick action on that yesterday, and you might want to mention that. And I was also pleased to see just this week when there were some bond issues voted on across the state that Norman bonded their schools and for technology updates and also for storm shelters in six of their schools, and their bond issue passed by 86%. And so people will step up and take charge and make the right decisions when given the opportunity to do that. Midwest City and Dell City Schools also approved a $10 million bond issue to support safety and security in their schools and technology, and I think we need to take that very seriously. Now, Moving forward, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about our health care and our health outcomes. And Bruce Lawrence is here with Integris, and very important part of this Chamber of Commerce. As I've said before, I still believe, but I think a lot of Americans, a lot of Oklahomans agree with me, that Obamacare is unworkable and unaffordable. That's why we keep seeing delays, another delay yesterday. We keep seeing cost estimates going up. There's an article in the paper this morning about Oklahomans that signed up but hadn't paid yet to be able to join into the federal exchange for Obamacare. And that's a big concern. Health is a big concern for our state. As you know, I've chosen, and the legislature has chosen, not to expand Medicaid in our state because the system's already broken. And it's been estimated over the next decade that it could cost the state of Oklahoma $850 million in new costs. And by the way, we're anticipating new costs this year with just Obamacare going into effect. But all that being said does not mean that we don't think it's important to improve access to care and also to improve the health and the health outcomes of our state. Because if Oklahomans aren't healthy, you will not have a healthy workforce, a productive workforce, and your health insurance premiums will continue to go up despite what's being done federally, Pete, to us. And it's something that I think is important that we focus on as a state. So I had the opportunity earlier this year, President Obama came through for the May tornado, and he said, "What else can I do to help Oklahoma?" And I said, "I would like for you to re-extend and approve our waiver for Insure Oklahoma for our low-income Oklahoma citizens and our small businesses." We had received notice, I think it was last April, that they were going to discontinue Insure Oklahoma, which had been in effect 8 years, a very successful program to help low-income small businesses be able to provide insurance at a very affordable rate. And lo and behold, we actually got approval, another year extension on that. So my goal is to make Insure Oklahoma a permanent program, and I'm going to keep pushing on that, and hopefully we'll be able to get that done, and hopefully they'll be able to see the light, that there are some innovative programs being done in the states. If given the opportunity, we can help innovate, create, solve a lot of our own problems in our state and be able to provide better health outcomes. And speaking of health outcomes, it is very important that we move from what I call a sick care system, one in which when people get sick, then you get into the system, to one where we try to work on preventative care and better health outcomes on the front side to keep people from getting sick in the first place. And that's why we've talked a lot over the last couple of years about our challenges in Oklahoma with diabetes, obesity, smoking in particular, heart disease, certainly other illnesses, that lack of exercise, lack of proper nutrition that affect our state. And to encourage Oklahomans to be responsible. Take charge of your own health so that you can have that quality of life. And hopefully we'll be able to reduce some of the Oklahomans through some of the reform we're talking about, even right now in session, to be able to, through the reforms, to reduce the number of people that show up at emergency rooms, which is one of the most expensive forms of health care in our state, and to just frankly be able to improve the health of our citizens and quality of life while also being able to have a system that we can afford in our state. And finally, I want to talk to you also about something that's very important in our state, and that is our state employees and how much we appreciate their service to our state. And a discussion that we're having at the Capitol, which I think is very important to Oklahoma's future because it deals with our financial stability, especially with our pension systems. And it is an issue that's long overdue that needs to be addressed, one that's difficult to address, but one that's important to address in our state. We have an employee pay system and a benefit structure in our state that is a mid-20th century pay system and pay structure and benefit system. And we think that it's important to rebalance how we take care of our state employees, appreciate their service, be able to help adjust the pay of those state employees who are not competitive with the private sector, but also have a modern pension system so that those state employees will want to stay in state government and to be in a 21st century type of pay and pension and benefit system itself. And so I know the legislature just this week, the Senate, passed a pension reform bill that would move our state for new hires only, of state employees to what's called from an outdated defined benefit plan to a defined contribution plan to a more portable, flexible 401k type pension system, because we know on the average now that state employees stay on the job about 5 years. And if we had a more modern pension system, we think we could attract and retain good state employees. They would have a benefit plan that they could take with them should they choose to move to some other job, and frankly just be able to attract good quality state government. And that's important because Oklahoma City's the capital city. It's where we have a tremendous amount of state employees that work. In fact, I think Oklahoma City may be our largest employer, or state employees may be our largest employee group. And how we compensate and how we treat our employees directly affect and impacts our economy, our state economy, and certainly the quality of services that we receive. Now, talking about our capital, one of my other pet peeves that you probably have noticed is our need to fix the state capitol. And that has been an ongoing, decade by decade old problem that our legislature needs to tackle. It's an embarrassment to our state, and that we haven't put money in to fix up our capitol. It's an eyesore. It's our seat of our government. It's at the capitol this morning. We had people from all over the state, even people from out of the country. It's the seat of our government. It's where many of our state agencies are, elected officials are, and our capital's in a state of disrepair. It's embarrassing to have yellow barriers when people drive by to see our beautiful building. It's embarrassing when you walk through the basement. As I told the legislator, I said, you know, you see those water stains on the wall? Well, I have bad news for you. That's not water stains. That's sewer. That's sewer that's leaking from other floors in the capitol down into the basement. And sometimes when you go down to the basement, it does not smell good. In fact, I heard the Senate was stinking, Senator Jolly. I heard the Senate was smelling yesterday. I don't know why that was, but I thought you guys did some great work yesterday, but I heard it was kind of smelly in the Senate yesterday. That's why we need, and the Senate actually passed a bond issue proposal to fix the Capitol. And I appreciate the Senate acting so very quickly. It's only been a week and a half, and here the Senate is already acting on something that's very important. So I would encourage all of you, as you're visiting with legislators, and I see our treasurer here and senators here and other folks that are here today, to talk to them and tell them it's time to pass a bond issue to fix the Capitol. And if we pass a bond issue, let me just tell you this, we can't afford it. We can afford it. And then that money that we will have by not just paying as you go, we can put towards education and health care and roads and bridges and corrections and other important needs of our state. Now, here's the reason why it's such a good time. First of all, interest rates are low. We all know that. Secondly, 41% of our state's bond indebtedness comes off the books. It's paid off by the year 2018, and 86% of all of our state's bond debt comes off the book in the next 13 years. So we can't afford it. But we can't afford to continue to let the capital fall apart because it's going to cost us more. It's just like a house. If you have a leak in your roof or a foundation problem or your sewer's leaking underneath your foundation like it is at the capital, it's going to cost you a lot of money if you ignore that for decades. For decades. And that's what's been happening. It's the people's house, and it's not an extravagance to fix up the building. It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility as Oklahomans. So, thank you. I appreciate that. So, the things I've outlined today, and there are a lot of other important issues at the Capitol that are being debated, but the things I've outlined today is our plan to help continue to build Oklahoma's momentum. We have a good momentum right now, Do we have issues that need to be dealt with? Absolutely, and there always will be. But we have great momentum right now, and our goal is to keep that momentum going, to keep the job creation going, keep making Oklahoma a great place to invest and to work and to live and to raise a family. Help Oklahoma be a place that protects its children during times of disaster and give them the necessary tools to not only protect them but to be successful in getting an education, a quality education, so they can enter into the workforce or go on into a higher education type a degree itself. And frankly, even to demonstrate that Oklahoma government can be responsible, that we can be smaller, smarter, and efficient, and eliminate waste in state government through some of the programs, Pete, you were mentioning, through our CNG natural gas initiative on our cars, to our new energy efficiency program that we launched, passed in the legislature. We now say that 20% of our state office buildings, and we have 1,700 throughout the state, that they have to reduce their energy costs by 20%. It's energy efficiency, and we can do that in our state. But we can help government be more efficient and effective, and we can show Washington that it can be done differently. Oklahomans have had a long history of working together, of collaboration, cooperation. Debate is good, because that's when we decide what's good ideas, what works, what doesn't work. And with all the people in this room representing all the many different private sector industries, with our elected officials that are here and our civic leaders that are here, I have no doubt that the next chapter in Oklahoma's history will be even better. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for the Oklahoma City Chamber.